Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and those who have not yet chosen. This is your favorite comedian coming to you with the best talk show on YouTube. This is not the Trevor No Laughs, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Ellen, Jimmy Oprah, or the Jimmy Tonight Show. You're watching The Right Show coming to you at the right place at the right time. The only talk show that cares so much about you. We put your comments right here in the feed so you can see yourself right there if your comment is noticed in time. And I'm not ignoring anyone. It's just this show goes very quick. This show is so fast-paced that we are updating it right before going on, including our announcement of the day. Breaking news, Johnny Depp wins. If you've been following the trial at all and The Right Show, you know that we were on Team Johnny the whole time. And since Amber Turd lost, this is a huge loss for people who lie, manipulate, who are dishonest, who abuse, and who say things like, believe all women, no matter what, believe us. Because here on The Right Show, we know that women make up 50% of all liars, the other half men. So no, we will not believe all women. We want to hear the facts. We want to know what's going on before we just take your side. And Amber, you lost. Johnny Depp, who is weird in his very own ways. Don't get me wrong. I'm not always Team Johnny. He's had a very difficult life and he's made it harder on himself with drug use, alcohol, and overspending. However, happy to see Captain Jack Sparrow win once again. And Amber Heard writes, I'm disappointed. I feel today is beyond words. I am heartbroken that the mountain of evidence still was not enough to stand up to the disproportionate power, influence, and sway of my ex-husband. You see? She writes, I'm even more disappointed with what this verdict means for other women. What a great person. She's worried about others. It is a setback. It sets back the clock to a time when a woman who spoke up and spoke out could be publicly shamed and humiliated. It sets back the idea that violence against women is to be taken seriously. Incorrect, Amber. We can do two things at once. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. It is true that we both respect women who have been through something difficult and know you are a liar. She continues, I believe Johnny's attorney succeeded in getting the jury to overlook the key issue of freedom of speech and ignore evidence that was so conclusive that we won in the UK. The UK has a horrible legal system, and there were women on the jury. So this is not a believe all women situation, because women didn't believe you. I'm sad I lost this case, but I am sadder still that I seem to have lost a right I thought I had as an American to speak free and openly. Well, Amber, you just lost the right that I lost several years ago because YouTube does not allow me to say certain things. So I had to change my words. I have to say boosty boost instead of injection. I have to say covifi instead of COVID. I have to say Leah Thomas is an amazing female swimmer instead of what I really think. So no, you lost nothing. And radical leftists like you are what caused the loss of my freedom of speech long ago. Now, Amala Ekpenobi, who's really cool, African-American woman, happens to be a moderate conservative, says, I'm sorry, girl. Did we watch the same trial? The real setback is when a woman lies about abuse and violence, but believe all women. Right, guys? That is how we take it down and break it down on The Right Show. Today, I show you a little bit of my Top Gun skills as I fly through the airways. Nancy Pelosi's hubby gets a Dewey. Beto O'Dork makes a scene, a lap dance goes wrong, and a baseball player pretending he's Jackie Robinson gets offended when he's called Jackie Robinson. All of this and more, it happens right here, right now on The Right Show. Welcome, YouTubers, Facebookers, and podcasters. Podcasters, look in the link description. If you want to see the visuals, you click on that. And you can watch along. We are still at 340,000 subscribers. We have not moved up in 9.5 months. And we're starting to go backwards a little, which makes no sense because my videos are getting more viral and shared more than ever on Facebook. Where are you from and what is your favorite alcohol beverage? Put in the comments. My go-to has been whiskey with soda, splash of Coke. That being said, I get offered free drinks everywhere I go. Being a comedian is like being a girl with huge bobos. meaning it's not hard to get free drinks. I choose not to. You have to say, wow, there's going to be a free drink around every corner. I'll just say no. So I turn down 99.9% of drinks the way a girl with big bobos turns down 99.9% of phone numbers. Now, why do I do that? Because I need to be ready to drive, ready to ride my motorcycle, ready to get to the next gig. And if you get a DUI, you cannot even go to Canada anymore for a minimum of 7 years. Now, Canada is where I make 20 to 30% of my money. So I need to be able to travel around the globe. So I cannot get a DUI. But more importantly, a gentleman must be equal to all emergencies. What good is a man if he's over in the corner just like, No, you need the man to be ready. Maybe one or two drinks, but still ready to be alert, get into the fight, and protect you or take you up in the air. Was that to answer many of your questions? Was Kayvon doing the piloting? I thought we discussed it. I am a Top Gun. Do I look kind of like Tom Cruise now? A little bit more to you? Hell yeah. Now, I told you guys how much fun I had. I went up in the air. I flew all the way from Southern California to Denver, landed at night. It was amazing. And we landed in between the big jets, like the ones, you know, passengers ride on. And little plane going in between the two. It was like, beep, beep, me. So eventually I want to get my way up to full-size jet. So when I land, people are like, whoa. And then I want to buzz the tower and be like Maverick. That is the goal in the long run. Speaking of which, I'm about to go on tour again. And every single city deserves you or a friend of yours to be there. So let's go over these towns. Tell me if one rings a bell, okay? You put in the comments if you know someone in these towns. June 6th through the 12th, Las Vegas, Nevada. Know anybody? June 16th, Boca Raton. June 17th, Lake Park, Florida. June 18th, Orlando, Florida. June 19th, Albany, New York. Let's keep it at that. Of course, there's Phoenix, Dallas, Seattle, which is a new addition. Seattle, Washington, Minneapolis, Washington, D.C. And then I end in Montana with a private event. If you know anyone in those towns, please let me know. I want to give you, my faithful viewer, a free ticket to send a friend. Because I know they're going to bring friends and they can buy their ticket. So we fill up the room with like-minded people. Today's episode is Democrats behaving badly. At the end, we're going to have to vote which story was by far the worst behavior from a radical leftist. And as you know, Democrats believe radical ideas. You don't need a border, you don't need police, you don't need a military, you don't like the anthem, you don't like the founding fathers, you don't like the Bill of Rights, you don't like the Declaration of Independence, you don't like any of it, but you're a moderate Democrat, so you're a radical leftist if you're a moderate Democrat. We will start with Kamala Harris. Kamala cackles at the idea that California is going through a drought. She finds the oddest times to laugh. Is it just me or is this weird? Take a look.
And I remember watching in the Oakland Hills, Northern California, the landscape turning from green to brown. And everyone, from my mother, our teachers, the radio DJs, KDIA, Lucky 13, saying how important it was to conserve water.
What? If you blinked, you missed it. She's talking about a huge drought, and she watched the hills of Oakland, where she lives, you know, Cammy from the block, before she's Dane Montel. She was like, the hills turned brown, and everyone ran out of water, and it became a crisis. And how funny, she also remembers the radio station it was on.
And I remember watching in the Oakland Hills, Northern California, the landscape turning from green to brown. And everyone, from my mother, our teachers, the radio DJs, KDIA, Lucky 13, saying how important it was to conserve water.
We all know Kamala Harris will always remind you every time she gets a chance that she's the first Black and the first Indian and the first female. Well, now she has a new one. Kamala, you are the first and worst female vice president of all time. Congratulations. Now, as you know, this is Democrats behaving badly. So who else is on the chopping block? None other than Nancy Pelosi. She was traveling, doing some sort of work event, stealing money, getting stock tips. I don't know what she was doing. And her husband said, ooh, goody, 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 goody. My wife is no longer here. I can finally enjoy some peace and quiet. So he immediately went to Napa Valley, got in his Porsche. Now this man is 81 years old, gets in a Porsche, heads to Napa as soon as his wife gets on her broom and leaves. Now, this is the wife, okay? You too would need a drink in Napa if you were married to that.
Nancy Pelosi's husband busted for drunk driving. We've learned the House Speaker husband, Paul, was booked into the Napa County Jail last night just before midnight. Jail records show Paul Pelosi is now facing DUI charges. He bailed out this morning. Now, we reached out to Speaker Pelosi's office about this matter. In a statement, her spokesperson told us the speaker will not be commenting on this private matter, which occurred while she was on the East Coast. By the way, it appears this was not Paul Pelosi's first alcohol-related arrest. Court records show he was arrested on similar charges back in 2018 and served 3 years probation for alcohol-related reckless driving.
Now, if you don't know, Nancy Pelosi is a congresswoman, and she's the Speaker of the House. She also tore up government documents while Donald Trump was giving a speech and talks about unity while she divides. She also took off her mask and got a haircut after closing down your hair salon. You don't need a haircut. She did. And your hair salon got fined, lost her license, or fired. But secretly, she went and got herself her little haircut in March, April, May, June, and July of 2020, while you were told to sit at home. At this point, we are here to laugh at her husband, though. Her husband went to Napa Valley, Porsche, 81 years old, had one too many drinks, legally drunk, gets in his car to drive drunk because he knows there's going to be no consequences for a Pelosi, and just driving wildly through the roads of Napa, putting your family, anyone on vacation, any spring breakers, any summer travelers at risk. He was involved in a car accident, and unfortunately, there was no way out. At that point, the officer had to bring the Pelosi in. Now, while driving drunk is something I choose not to ever do, and it's always something you want to watch out for because you are being very selfish. We all know the Pelosis are very selfish. You almost can't fault him if you were married to that. Ah! Her eyebrows are even trying to leave for Napa and get away from Nancy if you look closely. Now, do you think Mr. Pelosi is going to go to jail, or do you think he is going to walk based on his leftist privilege? Please put in the comments so we can decide, and we'll read each other's comments and see if we're on the same page. I think he's going to get away with it. It's the Clintons, it's the Bidens, it's the Pelosis. Different rules for different folks. 81-year-old, wrecked his Porsche, Napa Valley, and Nancy wasn't home. But you too would be drunk if that was your wife. When we come back, we're going to talk about some more Democrats. There are too many to cover. Let's keep it moving. We have none other than Beto the Dork. If you don't know who Beto is, his real name is Robert Francis O'Rourke. He is an Irish-American, but he knows that being in El Paso and San Antonio all the time, he has to pander to Latinos and pretend he's one of them. So he has changed his name to Beto. No one has ever called him Beto. He calls himself that. And he makes up some backstory that, my great-grandma used to always call me Beto, and that's why I love my name Beto, just so he can run for office and put Beto. Well, Latinos aren't as stupid as he thinks. They're not voting for him. He's already lost a run, I believe, for Senate, and now he's trying to go for the trifecta. Run for governor, not going so well. So he showed up to a press conference where parents and the media were going to ask the parents of the Uvalde massacre what happened. How did the Latino man, 18-year-old man, get into the school? Why did he target the young kids? A huge tragedy. Beto wanted to make that event about him. He was not invited there. So he stood up in front of the cameras and started shouting and yelling to show how much he cares. Cue Beto the Dork.
Excuse me. Sit down. You're out of line and an embarrassment.
Sit down and don't play this stuff.
The next shooting is right now, and you are doing nothing.
No, he needs to get his out of here. This isn't the place to talk this over.
This is totally predictable when you...
Sir, you're out of line. Sir, you are out of line. Sir, you are out of line. Please leave this auditorium. I can't believe you're a sick son of a bitch that would come to a deal like this to make a political issue. It's on assholes like you. Why don't you get out of here?
Now, that was just hilarious at the end. Of course, this is a tragedy. No one's laughing about that. We're just laughing how everyone hates Beto no matter what side of the aisle you're on. He will not win his bid for his election. But Time Magazine covered it, and Time is huge. They've got millions of followers who still think it's real news. And they finally got it right, but then they issued a correction. Correction: Beto O'Rourke confronts Texas Governor Abbott about gun control. The original version of this tweet misspelled Beto O'Rourke. It is Beto, not Beta. In my opinion, they got it right the first time. Beta male the dork. It is time to go into more racism coming from the left. Remember, this episode is Democrats behaving badly. We already have a few topics that we've covered. We have Amber Heard, we have Nancy Pelosi's husband, and we have Beto O'Rourke. But it gets even worse because in Chicago, there is a high school that wants to give race-based grades in the upcoming school year. Now, the whole goal of America, from what I was told, was to all be treated equally, that we can all do the same things, no one race is better than the other, and everyone has the same capabilities. How dare you? But Chicago does not believe that. OPRF, which is like Oak Park, I don't know, school system, which is in Chicago area, is going to implement a race-based grading system in 2022. A high school in Chicago is implementing a race-based grading system to adjust classroom grading scales to account for skin color or ethnicity of its students. What do they do? Put a paint swatch up and be like, well, you had an F, but based on your brownness, that's a C+. Here goes the leftist. The move is necessary because traditional grading practices perpetuate inequities. Oak Park and River Forest High School administrators will require teachers next school year to adjust their classroom grading scales to account for the skin color or ethnicity of its students. Where does Persian fall on that list? Because I want to know what kind of grades I'm getting. School board members discussed the plan called Transformative Education, Professional Development, and Grading. TEPDG. They should call it like residual educational teaching and reformative discussion. Retard! In an effort to equalize test scores, why would you ever want to equalize test scores? Among racial groups, OPRF will order its teachers to exclude from their grading assessments variables it says disproportionately hurt the grades of Black students. So when we get down to it, it's not about skin color. This is all about Black students. They can no longer be docked for missing class, misbehaving in school, or failing to turn in assignments according to the new plan. So there you have it. Okay. You are seeing radical racism right in front of your eyes. There is no mainstream racism from the right anymore. You might say that, well, there's this guy who lives in a cabin who hates all Asians. Okay. But is he the president, Joe Biden, who is a racist? Is he the Speaker of the House, who is a racist? Is he Kamala Harris, full-blown racist? Is he the head of the Oak Park and River School District or whatever that's called? Full-blown, radical, leftist, racist, who are among us and considered mainstream. When you elevate the grades of Black students for no reason, and you basically, what you're going to do is you're going to keep advocating for them to miss school. You're going to keep covering for them when they don't turn in homework. You're going to keep apologizing for them. The more you incentivize this behavior, the more you're going to get of it. What is the damage that will cause over the next 3 generations? Put that in the comments. I'd love to see your guys' thoughts. What is the damage over the next 3 generations by just falsely propping up people who are not being held to the same standards as Asians, Persians, Latinos, Europeans, Italians, Greeks? They're not all the same, by the way. White people is a misnomer. Greeks are not traditionally the same as Italians, as Russian, as Portuguese, Spanish, and French. These are all very different cultures. Norwegians, Swedish, they should all be treated as such. But anyway, the radical left has decided that white people are this large group that all think alike and we're all from the same place. Even though I'm half Persian, I count because I look more like my mom. And that we all think exactly alike and we all have to be punished for the African American. 3 generations, what will be the problem? They can no longer get work because they need a degree. I'll take it a step further. What if they keep getting work because of skin color that they cannot do? Now, it's one thing if they can't make a sandwich at Subway, but what if they can't fly the plane correctly? What if they got a job and they can't get you out of your legal jam correctly? You end up getting a steeper penalty. You end up going to jail for life. You end up having a surgery and snip that, can't do the delicate surgery, but I got passed through because of this new program. 3 generations of that is going to be bad. More dummies out there. And this is why kids in America are not as smart as other people. Lana says, what happened with working for it despite your color? Patches, have the radical progressive leftists lost what little minds they had left? I can't even do comedy anymore because the news is funnier than anything I could dream up. If as a comedian, I submitted a joke, hey, what if we just started grading people based on their skin color? Oh, you're Black, you get an A. Oh, you're Asian, you start with an F and work your way back. The people would be like, that joke is so hacky. That joke is so racist. That joke is so dumb. But that is what Chicago is doing. We can only get so angry about these things. Every once in a while, a leftist does something very stupid, but kind of provides levity to all of us. And as you know, the theme of today is Democrats or leftist behaving badly. I think I warned you about that. Well, we have one right here. The Mona Lisa was defamed, defaced, and frosted. So I say the Mona Lisa was defrosted by a climate activist. Now, we all know climate activists are radical, out-of-control leftists. They don't care about anyone else's feelings but their own. They've been convinced they're going to die this generation or the next if they don't do something. They don't know what to do, much like Colin Kaepernick. He was mad about the police, so he used football games and the national anthem instead of going and having a talk with the police or doing a press conference from a police station or maybe, just maybe, doing a documentary and showing what the police go through and helping his people understand that side of it so they don't act irrationally and get into entanglements with the police. No, no. He just wants to use a football game to hate the police and the national anthem as his platform. Well, this is no different. A radical leftist or mainstream leftist climate activist defrosted the Mona Lisa. It looked like this.
The Mona Lisa painting was attacked with a cake in the Louvre Museum in Paris, the capital of France. A person wearing an old lady's outfit in a wheelchair threw a cake at the Mona Lisa painting in the Louvre Museum. The activist shouted in French, "Think of the world. We are destroying the world. Artists need to think about the world. That's why I did it."
Think of the world, think of the world. First of all, Leonardo da Vinci is no longer here. So why do artists need to think about the world? This guy's been dead a couple hundred years. Secondly, the Mona Lisa is protected behind several layers of glass, so that cake never hit her ugly face. But it was enough to get the guy arrested. The third problem is, how did the man get so close to the Mona Lisa? Did you hear that part?
A person wearing an old lady's outfit in a wheelchair.
He was in a wheelchair dressed like a woman. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, if a man dressed like a woman and rolled in to wherever the Mona Lisa was, the Louvre is last time I saw it, that man would stand out. He would stick out like a sore thumb. But because of radical leftist policies, now that a man is dressed like a woman rolling a wheelchair into a place, we don't question it. We don't look at it as weird. Nobody wants to pipe up. Nobody wants to lose their career. That guy could be a terrorist, a climate activist. He could be up to no good. He could have things under his wheelchair. But we are so open-minded and progressive now that things like that don't throw up a red flag. This is a huge problem. Leah Thomas smuggling goods in her bikini. That doesn't throw up a red flag. That could be used somehow down the line to be an act of terror, an act of destruction, an act of vandalism. So when you see something, you should be able to say something. And a man in a wheelchair should have been the first red flag. Security should have been all over him, watching him. Maybe don't even let him in. Because at this point, it is not about being open-minded and tolerant. It's what the hell's wrong with you mentally, and why do the rest of us have to be succumbed and confronted by it? We'll be back. Oh, so I was called a racist once again. Now, as you know, I'm half Persian. Persians cannot be racist. My father's an immigrant, Muslim from another country. English was a second language. But the word racist is used every day by the radical left for their lack of argument. They don't have a better argument. Now, why was I called racist? Because I said buckwheat. Buckwheat. Now, if you don't know what buckwheat is, Little Rascals, one of my favorite shows growing up. I used to watch the black and white versions of the show. Very entertaining, and they're little kids acting in hilarious situations, almost like a Charlie Chaplin. Who did I call buckwheat? Someone who looked like buckwheat. Now, is it racist to call someone who looks like buckwheat, buckwheat, when I called Jen Psaki Peppermint Patty? Is that racist? Is it racist to call Jen Psaki Peppermint Patty? Please put that in the comments. I don't think it is racist. I called Kaylee McEnany Barbie. And the radical left called her Bullsh Barbie. I censored that. Now, was that racist to call her Bullsh Barbie? Is it racist to call Sarah Huckabee Sanders Shrek? Fiona, look here, Fiona. I love you, Fiona. Why can you be with her? You can be with a princess. Because I love Fiona. And I want her to love me because I'm an ogre. Man, Shrek, you're hilarious. And I'm your faithful steed. Let me see in the comments if you think it is racist that I called those. Not racist. Nope. Not racist. Perfect. Why was I then called racist for calling Jean-Pierre buckwheat? I mean, the resemblance is uncanny. If you look, if this hairdo was done slightly different, and I think buckwheat is incredibly cute. I watched the show. I think she looks just like buckwheat all grown up. But that was racist, they said. Here we have the full panel. I've provided equal rights. There's nothing more equal than calling Jen Nutsacky Peppermint Patty, Sarah Huckabee Fiona, Kaylee McEnany Barbie, and Jean-Pierre Buckwheat. It would be racist to exclude her and not pick a character she looked like. Let's see if you guys agree in the comments. Some people say, I love the nickname. Some people say, yes, I love Buckwheat. I see it. All of them are spot on. It is slightly rude to buckwheat, I will give you that. The radical left just wants you to not tease them, so they will call you racist just for including them the way you would include anyone else. Remember, they want separate grades, separate report cards, separate admissions to colleges, separate dorms, and now separate jokes. But I give equal treatment because I am one of the remaining non-racists in America, and I'm half Persian. One person said, Kayvon, how dare you call her buckwheat? Buckwheat was a man, so you're being sexist by calling her a man. Fun fact, Buckwheat was a girl. Okay. Now, a lot of you don't know Buckwheat was a girl because you were not as big a fan as I was of the show. So walk with me down memory lane. There's the original Buckwheat. The Little Rascals Buckwheat initially was a girl. Two different females assumed the role that eventually went to a boy. This is something you can impress your friends with, something you might not remember. Despite Thomas being a male, the Buckwheat character remained a female dressed with bowed pigtails and large hand-me-down sweater and oversized boots. Billy Thomas became Buckwheat in the 1935 episode called Mama's Little Pirate, but he continued to play the role as a girl since the character Buckwheat was originally a girl. Hal Roach in the studio must have wanted to keep it that way. Even though the new actor for Buckwheat was the boy, Billy Thomas, if you're ever confused about whether he was a little girl or a little boy, this may be the reason. He wore pigtails with bows and a large oversized sweater. Now, the Buckwheat character played by Billy Thomas finally evolved into a boy after Stymie left the series in 1935. In the 1936, The Pinch Singer, Billy Thomas as Buckwheat was now a he, not a she. There you go. Something you might not have known. And that's why I love history. That's why I love cinema. That's why I love it all. So you now know that Buckwheat was indeed a girl initially, which would mean it should be no problem whatsoever for Jean-Pierre to happily take the role and title of Buckwheat. People saying, I did not know that. Pretty interesting. Learned something new. And now that show is racist. Not only was the show not racist, but the show was progressive because they had a boy playing a woman's role. Trans. Of course, now the radical left thinks that's wrong and a trans should have to play a trans. No one's allowed to act anymore. They don't know what they're doing. Speaking of radical leftist Democrats behaving badly, we now go into the sports world. Sports is something that's supposed to take your mind off of politics, but these folks went to a baseball game and politics broke out. There was a fight over Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson, one of the greatest athletes to play baseball, broke the color barrier. He had to be not just as good, but better than almost every other ball player in that generation so that when he did enter the major leagues, it could open the floodgates for so many more. And so this guy named Anderson was talking all week about how excited he was to wear number 42. He's got the Jackie Robinson shoes, the Jackie Robinson number. This is the Jackie Robinson game. So excited. And Donaldson was kind of jibber-jabbering, going, hey, what's up, Jackie Robinson? Anderson melted down, grabbed the umpire, said he just called me a racial slur. And Donaldson.
And the White Sox shortstop joins us now here on Central. Tim, so much to get into with you. But first, let's start and talk about Jackie Robinson Day today. What does wearing the number 42 mean to you?
It means a lot. You know, you're the reason that I'm here today. You know, to be able to put that number on definitely means a lot. And you know, just for what he stands for. And, you know, what he did for the community, what he did for the game. You know, he changed it. He changed it. And, you know, he the man. And it's only right, you know, to give as much respect as needed. And, you know, I'm going to wear that 42 with pride and honor today.
Tim, so important is 42 today. When you got injured and you're trying to get back, was this a date that you set because you wanted to get back to play on this specific day and wear 42 with everybody?
Nah, man, it's just the universe. It just happened to be on this day. You know, man, to be able to. Be able to, you know, to get back on this day and to be able to wear that 42.
Tim, that's when you go, yeah, Harold, I was shooting for four. I had to get back today. That was the day.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Harold, I had to get back for this day. What you mean?
Hey, Tim, in addition to wearing 42, you're also going to be wearing some pretty cool kicks. The Nike Griffey 1P Jackie Robinson-inspired Griffey cleats. What's it going to be like to have those on your feet today?
Man, it's going to be dope. Those are fresh. You know, man, the Griffey, Jackie Robinsons. Man, it's two icons mixed in one, so you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with those. I put the white laces in them, so I had to spice it up a little bit. So
I love that.
They're gonna look good off them pinstripes, baby. They're gonna look good off them pinstripes.
They suspended and fined Donaldson for being a racist and forced him to go on a parade apologizing for his racist misdeeds. How do you spell ESPN? W-O-K-E. The player loves Jackie Robinson, but you better not call him that. We move on to the final contender for leftist behaving badly. None other than Coy Leroy. If you've never heard of her, you're lucky. Coy is a horrible musical artist, not good at all, very poor performer, and because of a lack of talent or ideas, her big plan is to bring people on stage, jump on their lap, and rub her stank all over them. She got offended when a fan, after 4 or 5 minutes of this, touched her butt, and she said, mm-mm. And she went on to say how disrespectful it is and how men need to learn their manners. So watch the disrespectful man. It's all about respect. Remember, if a half-assed female artist pulls you on stage and grinds and lifts her leg over your head and rubs your nose into her zipper, just be respectful out there, guys. That's all you can ask. They're calling her Icky Minaj and Sticky Minaj a twat. She doesn't respect herself. She is gross. Wow, too much. And don't you think calling her buckwheat would be an insult to buckwheat? I agree. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember, keep your hands to yourself if you're getting grinded on this upcoming weekend. If you like the show, you can put a little donation on GoFundMe, of course, Venmo at KVON-KVON and Cash App, $KVON Comedy. This is the only channel that tells the truth through comedy. I'm off to Vegas, then Boca Raton, Orlando, and of course, Albany. Freedom of speech is under attack. That's why we go to multiple places. Rumble, Locals after this, we're going to go live, Ask Me Anything, and Rockfin. You want to help me out, then I want to be your friend and I want to be in touch with you. So go on k-vonncomedy.com/contact, scroll down and enter your email in the newsletter. Don't send me a message. This is my email. Find the place that says newsletter, subscribe. Very simple. And we're going to hang out right here. This has been an amazing episode, but it is now time to vote. Democrats behaving badly. I just had too many examples of it. So who was the worst behaved radical leftist in today's episode? Remember, was it Kamala Harris cackling over a drought? Was it Nancy Pelosi's hubby getting a Dewey? Was it Beto the dork trying to interrupt parents and a press conference to try to run for office? Was it race-based grading in Chicago? Was it the Mona Lisa defaced by a radical leftist for climate change reasons? Was it radical leftists calling buckwheat and Jean-Pierre racist for making that comparison? Was it the baseball player fighting over the name he tried to give himself, Jackie Robinson? Or was it Coy Leroy rubbing her choy all up on that boy? We have our votes coming in. Nancy Pelosi's hubby, Beto Pelosi, can't beat Cammy, Cackle Toe Harris, Beto the dork, Beto the dork, Kamala. It's a two-horse race at this point. We have Camel Cackle Harris and Beto the dork. They're all crazy. Kayvon, you're spot on. Beto, Beto, Beto. Well, you know what? We're going to have to go ahead and give it to Beto. I did not think he would pull it off. I thought for sure it was going to be the Pelosi hubby or the cacklehoe, but Beto takes the cake. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been a lot of fun, and I'll see you on Locals in about 3 minutes. But until then, tune in next time. Tell your friends about The Right Show and give it 5 stars on your favorite podcast network. We always appreciate that.